This is Ham College, episode 136, for March 26, 2026. Ham College is brought to you by ICOM. Whether the bands are calm, crowded, or somewhere in between, when the gear stays out of your way and the contacts keep coming, you know you're in good company. Choose ICOM. Welcome to another exciting episode of Ham College. I'm Professor Thomas.
I'm Dean Martin.
And we've got questions for you tonight from the Amateur Radio Technician Exam.
Every time you say that, I think about the Radio Shack commercial. You got questions, we got answers. Every single time.
Every single time. I don't say it every show.
Pretty much.
Oh, do I? Okay. All right. Maybe I do. Yeah. Well, you're just back in the country here. You know, you're lucky you got back when you did, or else your flight might have been delayed.
I know, right?
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah, I got back the 15th, I think. Yeah, because we were delayed in Charlotte leaving, so. It ended up being the 15th. It's supposed to have been back on the 14th.
Yeah. So how was the European vacation? Big Ben Parliament?
Still there.
Yeah?
Yeah, it was good. Actually, I might share some pictures next. Amateur Logic, maybe.
All right.
So.
Cool.
But it was a good time. We had a great time. My son and I went, just us, and good father-son vacation. We had a fantastic time. Went to Paris. First time I've ever been there.
Oh, you and Rusty.
Yeah. Yeah, he didn't throw the beret off the Eiffel Tower.
Oh, okay. All right.
Yeah. Anyway, it was a good time. I think Paris is a little bit overrated. London, we like it a little bit better.
Yeah. Well, I haven't been to either one of them.
You should go.
Yeah.
It's a good time. Take plenty of money. It was quite expensive.
Yeah, I don't know. I'll have to check with email before I can run into that.
I'll tell you one thing. We ate, the two of us, two meals were like 60, 65 pounds, which turns into like $70 to $80 U.S. for two meals. We went to the Harry Potter studio thing where they filmed a lot of the Harry Potter stuff, or most of it. Maybe all of it, I'm not sure. And got two hot dogs, two drinks, and two orders of fries, and it cost me 60 pounds, which with the exchange rate is like 75 or 80 bucks.
Wow, man, that's like going to a ball game, huh?
It's crazy.
Wow. So what did we talk about in the last episode?
Well, best I can remember, I want to say it was about antennas and transmission line measurements troubleshooting. Maybe a little bit of measuring SWR, effects of high SWR, causes of feed line failure, basic coax cable characteristics, use of dummy loads when testing. And I think for good measure, we threw in a little bit of chatter about using basic test instruments like voltmeters, ammeters, and ohmmeters. That's a lot of meters there. And soldering, too, can't go wrong with soldering.
Well, it's not going to be, you know, we're not going to have tool time this time around.
Bummer.
Yeah, it's not going to be any tools or test equipment here. But this time around, we're going to talk about basic characteristics of FM and single sideband, bandwidth of the various modulation modes like CW, single sideband, FM, fast-scan TV, choices of emission types, a selection of USB and LSB, selection of upper sideband versus lower sideband, use of single sideband for weak signal work, and use of FM for VHF packet and repeaters. And if that's not enough, we've got just as many questions devoted exclusively to amateur satellite operations, like Doppler shift, basic orbits, operating protocols, modulation mode selection, transmitter power considerations, telemetry and telecommand, satellite tracking programs, beacons, uplink and downlink mode definitions, spin fading, definition of LEO, and setting uplink power.
Huh.
So,
pretty heavy duty stuff.
Pretty heavy duty.
Might be some buzzer action tonight.
So, out of this world.
Far out.
Well, why don't you ask me the first one?
Okay. Which of the following is a form of amplitude modulation? A, spread spectrum.
B, packet radio.
C, single sideband.
Or D, phase shift keying. Which following is a form of amplitude modulation? It's not spread spectrum or packet radio, because that's generally FM. It's not single. Well, I don't know. Let's see what else. Phase shift keying is not that. It is single sideband. I'm going to say it is C. Chat room. Well,
anybody even answering?
Well, we had one answer. Yeah.
And it was correct.
Yep. Yeah. Okay. Well, let's see. What do you think?
I think so. I think it's C.
And it is. What type of modulation is commonly used for VHF packet radio transmissions? A, FM or PM?
B, SSB or single sideband?
C, AM.
Or D, PSK? What type of modulation is commonly used for VHF packet radio? We talked about TNCs earlier.
Yeah.
And I believe those use FM. Actually, I'm sure they use FM. PM, what is that? Phase
modulation.
Okay. I'm going with A, FM or PM.
So everybody else is going with A as well. I'm going to agree with y'all.
Packet radio is fun stuff, man. I've already said that once tonight, but it's still fun.
We're going to get us some software modems and get back at it then.
Yeah. Which type of voice mode is often used for long distance or weak signal contacts on the VHF and UHF bands? A, FM.
B, DRM.
C, SSB.
Or D, PM. Which type of voice mode is often used for long distance weak signal contacts on VHF and UHF bands? Long distance weak signal. Well, FM wouldn't be good for that. And I don't know that we really use DRM in ham radio.
Digital rights management?
No, digital radio Mondial. Or Mondale.
Oh, that's
or,
right. I forget about that.
D, PM. I don't think that'd be good for weak signal, but single sideband, you know, you get more power for your money on single sideband.
More bang for your buck.
Yep. It's a little mixed on that in the chat room.
I'm going with C. I know it's not FM. I don't know what DRM is. I know what you said it is, but I don't really even know what that really is.
That's like digital shortwave, basically. We don't have it here in the U.S. really, but they use it a lot overseas.
The single sideband. I think that's it.
That's the one. Yeah. Which type of modulation is commonly used for VHF and UHF voice repeaters? A, AM.
B, SSB.
C, PSK.
Or D, FM or PM. Modulation for VHF and UHF voice repeaters. I happen to be a partial owner of a UHF voice repeater. And I know it happens to use D, FM or PM. They don't use PM, I don't think. Use FM, though.
Yeah. Saying D over in the chat room, I'm agreeing. I think it's D.
Well, so far, these are kind of easy. Yeah. So far.
Yeah.
Maybe famous last words. Which of the following types of signals has the narrowest bandwidth? A, FM voice.
B, SSB voice.
C, CW.
Or D, slow scan TV. Which of the following types of signals has the narrowest bandwidth?
Oh, we know that one.
Well, yeah. Definitely not slow scan TV or FM voice. Single sideband's kind of narrow, but CW, that's the narrowest bandwidth. Everybody's saying.
I guess narrowest you can get, isn't it?
Yeah.
Pretty sure.
I mean, you're basically just turning the carrier on and off. So, yeah, everybody's saying C in the chat room.
Everybody's correct.
Yep.
C for correct.
Which sideband is normally used for 10 meter HF, VHF, and UHF single sideband communications? A, upper sideband.
B, lower sideband.
C, suppressed sideband.
Or D, inverted sideband. I don't know what inverted and C or suppressed sideband are. But 10 meters, I'm thinking that's A, upper sideband.
I'm thinking you're right that it is A. The chat room's thinking the same thing. Do not suppress my sideband.
And don't invert it either.
Suppressed sideband, I guess that would be the sideband you weren't using.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, because basically that's how it works, isn't it? You generate an AM signal, you notch out the carrier, and then you suppress one of the sidebands and just send the other one.
Yeah.
I may not have my terms right, but yeah.
It sounds
it's
good,
basically
though.
Close enough.
Basically a half of a... Yep. AM signal.
So I don't think it will come up again. Let me just look before I say it. But for those of you studying for your technician exam, here's something you can maybe kind of remember. How do you know which sideband it's going to be? Well, the bigger that number, the lower the frequency, say like 10 meters. If we're on 2 meters, that's going to be like 146 megahertz. If we're down around 10 meters, that's going to be, 28 megahertz or so.
Yep.
If we're going to be on 80 meters, that's an even lower frequency.
3.
Yeah. So,
five-ish.
As a general rule then, and I say general because there are some exceptions, but any of the ham bands that are below, and that's below sounds a funny way of talking about it, but remember, the numbers are right the opposite. We're talking about the length of the wave, and the lower the frequency, the longer that wavelength. 40 meters and below, so like 40, 80, 160 meters, all of those are going to be lower sideband. Anything above 40 meters is generally going to be upper sideband. So 10 meters is above 40 meters because, we're talking about wavelength. So it's going to be right the opposite. We're going to be upper sideband. 40 down, lower sideband. Above 40, upper sideband in most cases.
Unless you're doing, FT8? That's almost always upper side.
A lot of the digital modes are, always upper sideband. I got a question for you.
All right, hit me.
What is the characteristic of single sideband compared to FM? A, single sideband signals are easier to tune in correctly.
B, single sideband signals are less susceptible to interference.
C, single sideband signals have narrower bandwidth.
Or D, all these choices are correct. Well, single sideband signals are not easier to tune in correctly, so that rules out A and D. B, single sidebands are less susceptible to interference. That's not really true either. So that leaves C, which I knew that was it anyway, but single sideband signals have narrower bandwidth.
Compared to FM. Yeah, I'll agree with you. Chat room? Yeah. They're saying C.
I see.
There you go.
Nailed it. All right. Got a good one for you here. What is the approximate bandwidth of a typical single sideband voice signal? A, 1 kilohertz.
B, 3 kilohertz.
C, 6 kilohertz.
Or D, 15 kilohertz. What's the approximate bandwidth of a typical single sideband voice signal? And when we're talking about single sideband, the bandwidth is going to be the same for, you know, that sideband as well as the audio bandwidth that you're passing. So 1 kilohertz would be, that would be kind of narrow. Yeah, it would be kind of pretty muddy sounding. 3 kilohertz, that's close to the same as, say, a regular old analog telephone would have. 3 kilohertz bandwidth. 6 is a little broader, would take up twice as much space. D, 15 kilohertz, well, you know, that's going to have fidelity or audio range surpassing AM broadcast. I'm going to say it's 3 kilohertz. That's pretty typical. You might find some radios that will do 6, but 3 is, yeah, I'm going to say that's typical. B, what do you think?
Usually keep my filter on about 3 kilohertz. So I'm thinking that's it.
Yep. Yeah, they're saying B in the chat room. And it is. What is the approximate bandwidth of a VHF repeater FM voice signal? A, less than 500 hertz.
B, about 150 kilohertz.
C, between 10 and 15 kilohertz.
Or D, between 50 and 125 kilohertz. Approximate bandwidth of a VHF repeater FM voice signal. It's not less than 500 hertz. 150 kilohertz. No, that's not it. That's pretty wide. I think it's going to be C, between 10 and 15 kilohertz. Between 50 and 25, that's pretty wide too. It's got to be C, between 10 and 15 kilohertz. That's the only one that seems like it might actually fit.
Yep. I'm going to agree with you. It is C. Chat room, they're saying C. And it is. To give you just a reference on that, FM stereo broadcast, which that's going to take way more bandwidth than a VHF repeater, is 75 kilohertz.
Oh, it is?
Yeah. So there's no way we'd have 150 for FM repeater.
Mm-hmm.
Even between 15 and 125, that's a lot of bandwidth.
Yep. What is the approximate bandwidth of AM fast scan TV transmissions? I'm glad you got this one. A, more than 10 megahertz.
B, about 6 megahertz.
C, about 3 megahertz.
and D about 1 megahertz. What's the approximate bandwidth of AM fast scan TV transmissions? Well, I know the answer to that.
That seems like they all seem so wide.
It's not slow scan TV. Does seem wide, doesn't it? But AM fast scan TV would be sort of akin to analog broadcast television. Let's see what they're saying in the chat room. There's only one answer. It's B, about 6 megahertz. Does seem like a lot, doesn't it?
Yeah. Well, let's see if that's the right answer. It is the right answer. I'd be done.
And the reason I know that's because I worked in television a few years, and that was the bandwidth of a television station was 6 megahertz.
So what band do amateurs do fast scan TV on? It's got to be one of the ones a technician can use above 30 megahertz.
I think it's UHF because we don't have
70 centimeters.
Yeah, we don't have 6 megahertz of bandwidth.
That's 143 megahertz to 149. That's pretty much the whole thing.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. 6 megahertz.
That's the whole band.
70 centimeters. Yeah.
If you count the ages.
UHF's about the only place we got enough bandwidth that you could be doing fast scan TV, and there's still room for somebody else to be on UHF.
Now, you might do it up in the 1.2 gigs. Yeah, I don't know how wide those bands are, 5 gigs.
But on fast scan television or analog television, the picture is broadcasting by AM, which is what they're saying, AM fast scan TV. The audio was FM, believe it or not. And it's sitting a certain distance above where the AM carrier is. And I used to know what that distance was. And I'm not going to say it now because I'll probably get it wrong.
You don't want any buzzer action.
No, especially when that.
Well, you don't have a question.
It's not required.
For it.
Yeah.
What is the approximate bandwidth required to transmit a CW signal? A, 2.4 kilohertz.
B, 150 hertz.
C, 1,000 hertz.
Or D, 15 kilohertz. Well, we know that CW is basically, we're just turning a carrier on and off. So you're not going to need 15 kilohertz for that. 15 kilohertz, that's like FM broadcast quality. 1,000 hertz, same as 1 kilohertz. You don't need that much just to turn a transmitter on and off. 2.4 kilohertz. You can do single sideband with 2.4 kilohertz.
In fact, I do sometimes.
Yeah. So, yeah, the smallest number there be 150 hertz. Yeah, that's...
Well, that's pretty tiny.
That's not... But you're not really modulating it. You're just turning the carrier on and off, so... Or you can do modulated CW, but it's the same basic thing. So I'm going to say B, 150 hertz. Saying B in the chat room. There you go.
I just wanted to thank you because I think you just did my question. Because you answered the one about 6.
Oh, did I?
Hertz for the slow scan TV too.
Well, you know, I was just helping a brother out, man.
Well, I appreciate you getting a fist bump on that one.
I was sitting here waiting on you to read it.
I know, so I did.
Not realizing that I should read it. Well, on that note.
Okay, so now I got to read it to you because it's your turn.
No, it's... Why don't we take a quick break and then we recover from that?
Okay.
Stick around, any ham radio conversation, and ICOM is bound to come up. The reason is straightforward: solid receivers, clear audio, and a layout that feels natural the second you start operating. These radios are made for real on the air time, whether the bands are calm, crowded, or somewhere in between. When the gear stays out of your way and the contacts keep coming, you know you're in good company. Choose ICOM. If you're heading to Dayton Hamvention May 15th through 17th, make sure you stop by ICOM's booth. We'll have a few sneak peeks at upcoming products, so come say hello and see what's on the horizon. Hope to see you there. Remote ready, contest capable, and built for serious signal, step into the future of amateur radio with ICOM's powerhouse trio: the IC7760 HF 50 MHz digital transceiver, the ICPW2 1KW HF 50 MHz linear amplifier, and the all-new RC7760 remote controller. Designed to work in perfect harmony, this system offers full remote operation, high output performance, and seamless integration across the bands. The RC7760 remote control serves as an extra control head, and up to five can be registered to the RF deck, though only one can be active at a time. For wireless connectivity, simply connect a commercially available Wi-Fi access point via the LAN port. Whether you're working from the shack, the field, or a remote site, you'll experience crystal clear audio, digital precision, and amplifier-grade power, all from a single unified interface. It's the ideal setup for contesters, MCOM operators, and high-demand users who expect more from their gear. Together, they redefine what's possible in amateur radio, setting a new standard for global connectivity and reliability. The IC7300MK2 builds upon everything operators loved about the original IC7300, elevating it to a sharper, cleaner, and more capable HF experience. Its improved RMDR, lower phase noise, enhanced cooling, and expanded I/O options make it the next level performer for serious operators who want crystal clear reception, rock solid transmit quality, and modern conveniences that fit today's operating styles. Also, check out Sirius Performance for Sirius operators with the IC9700 VHF UHF 1.2 GHz all mode transceiver. For more information about ICOM's great amateur radios, contact icomamerica.com/amateur today.
So now I need to ask you two questions. Is that how we ended up?
No, it's your turn for one.
No, wait a minute. That doesn't hardly seem fair.
You answered one, then it was my turn. Now it's your turn. Even though
I answered two.
You took my turn.
No.
Okay, we'll just hit
you. Well, how about I just ask you this one anyway?
Okay, that'll work.
What telemetry information is typically transmitted by satellite beacons? A, the signal strength of received signals.
B, time of day, accurate to plus or minus 1/10 of a second.
C, health and status of the satellite.
Or D, all these choices are correct. I don't think all these choices are correct, and I don't think it's A, signal strength of the received signal. Time of day, plus or minus 10 seconds. Oh, telemetry. That's going to be the health and the status of the satellite. C. Got to be.
Yeah, out of those choices, I'd say, that's probably it, huh?
Yeah. I mean, the time of day could be in that, but I don't think it's just the time of day.
And not to accuracy within plus or minus 1/10 of a second.
No.
Yeah, it's not GPS. It's an amateur satellite.
Yeah.
There you go.
We know most of us amateurs are usually late anyway.
Signal strength of the received signal. For some reason, I want to say that seems like it could be valid. But I don't guess it is. I
mean, but a beacon's just going to go...
Oh, a beacon. That's a key word.
Yeah, so it's just going to send periodically anyway.
Like yeah. Yeah, so it's not even listening.
Yeah, it's just a beacon.
Yeah, okay.
See, not, and don't read like I did first. It's not bacon.
Okay.
Although we say it's it like that sometimes. What is the impact of using excessive effective radiated power on the satellite uplink? A, possibility of commanding the satellite to an improper mode.
B, blocking access by other users.
C, overloading the satellite batteries.
Or D, possibility of rebooting the satellite control computer. Yeah, boy, you'd really be hitting it hard, huh?
I mean, sometimes everything just needs a good reboot. Then excessive up-radiated power on a satellite uplink. I don't think it's going to be A. It's got to be B, blocking access by other users. So if you're overloading the receiver, it's got to be B. I don't think the others are going to fit.
I'll agree with you, and chat room is too. I mean, say if you're sitting there running a kilowatt and the other people trying to get in are only running a watt, obviously they're not going to make it.
Nope. Which of the following are provided by satellite tracking programs? A, maps showing the real-time position of the satellite track over Earth.
B, the time, azimuth, and elevation of the start, maximum altitude, and end of a pass.
C, the apparent frequency of the satellite transmission, including effects of Doppler shift.
Or D, all of these choices are correct. Which of the following are provided by satellite tracking programs? You know, I hadn't worked any satellites in decades.
Since the Oscar days?
Yeah, probably. Way back there. Map showing the real-time position of the satellite track over Earth. Yeah, I think it. I think they provide that because they did back in the 90s when I was doing satellite.
Yeah.
B, the time, azimuth, and elevation of the start, maximum altitude, and end of the pass. Yeah, I think it'll show, it was been showing all of that all along as well. C, the apparent frequency of the satellite transmission, including effects of Doppler shift. Because as the satellite is approaching you and then gets past you and, you know, you're tracking it away, the frequency of it's changing due to the effects of Doppler shift. So, yeah, all of these choices are correct, I think.
Yeah, I think so, too.
D. That's what the chat room thinks, too.
Can't fool the chat room much.
Much.
You remember TrackSat, the guy that got, we used to work at Huntsville at the space center over there, TrackSat. It was like a DOS tracking program.
Yeah, yeah.
You used to have to get on the bulletin board and download the Keplerian elements. Mm-hmm. And then it ran, and it would take like, those computers were so slow, man. It would take like minutes to calculate all that path and all that. Next time it's going to come see across you and everything. Pretty cool stuff in its day, though.
What mode of transmission is commonly used by amateur radio satellites? A, single sideband.
B, FM.
C, CW / data.
Or D, all of these choices are correct. Amateur radio satellites. I haven't actually used one with sideband, single sideband, but I have FM, and I know I've seen data coming down, so I know B and C are valid, and there's not an option for B and C, so it's got to be D. All these choices are correct, so apparently there's some with single sideband as well.
Yeah, I think there is. Chat room thinks there is.
I don't recall any like that, but I know there has to be.
Yeah, I think maybe there's some on the HF bands. Not Well, maybe I'm not. I may not be right about that. I may be mixing them up with balloons. But apparently, all those choices are correct.
Apparently so. It's right there in yellow. The highlighter.
You didn't even see me mark it, did you?
No, pretty quick. What is a satellite beacon? Not bacon. A, the primary transmit antenna on the satellite.
B, an indicator light that shows where to point your antenna.
C, reflective surface on the satellite.
Or D, a transmission from a satellite that contains status information. What is a satellite beacon? Primary transmit antenna, no. Indicator light, no. Reflective surface, no. D, transmission from a satellite that contains status information. D.
Yeah, we kind of established that a few minutes ago.
Yep. Yep. A beacon, just thinking, you know, like the top light on a radio tower is a beacon.
Mm-hmm.
It's sitting there flashing. You don't ask it anything, it just flashes. Let you know it's there. Same thing with the satellite, more or less.
Yep.
It's just letting you know it's there. And instead of flashing light in your eyes, it's just telling you the batteries are charged or whatever info it wants to share. Maybe the temperature.
I need to do some play around with some satellite stuff. I might have to put me up like a quarter wave antenna, though. Mine are too high gain to.
You got a tape measure. You don't need a quarter wave.
Well, I got to stand outside and point it, though. It's a lot of work. It's hard work.
Well, but if you've got the Keplerian elements and your complete track.
You know, the funny thing is, talking about that track set program.
Yeah.
And, there's more power in my phone than the computers we used to run that on because you can calculate that stuff on your phone in a blink.
Yeah.
So fast, like it's not even no comparison.
Which of the following are inputs to a satellite tracking program? A, the satellite transmitted power.
B, the Keplerian elements.
C, the last observed time of zero Doppler shift.
Or D, all these choices are correct. And I probably am butchering that word. Following.
Okay, go ahead.
Which of the following are inputs to satellite tracking program? And I mentioned this earlier that we used to go and download them from the bulletin board. So I do know this one. It's B, Keplerian elements. So typically two lines of numbers that somehow the program uses to track where that satellite's going to be.
Apparently you remember a lot more about it than I do because I didn't know it was two lines.
I think it was two lines, best I remember.
It probably was. So you're saying it's B.
I'm saying it's number B.
That's what John's saying over in the chat room.
Then it's B. What is Doppler shift in reference to satellite communications? A change in the satellite orbit.
B, a mode where the satellite receives signals from one band and transmits on another.
C, an observed change in signal frequency caused by relative motion between the satellite and Earth station.
Or D, a special digital communications mode for some satellites. What is Doppler shift in reference to satellite communications? It's not a change of the satellite's orbit. It's not B. C, an observed change in signal frequency caused by the relative motion between the satellite and the Earth station. That's it. As that satellite's moving and it's approaching you and then it's leaving you, going past you, its frequency appears where you're sitting to change. That's Doppler shift.
Yeah, that's a strange phenomenon to me.
It is.
If you got a good tracking program, though, it can tune your radio for you as it happens.
I guess, yeah, they can do it automatically now.
Mm-hmm.
The last time I did satellite, it was like primitive. You had to actually turn your VFO.
No.
Yeah.
Old school.
Old school. Yeah.
We talk about old school a lot around here. Two old guys.
Well, we just want to make sure they get a history lesson in on this as well.
There you go.
So let's see if it's C.
Bingo.
Yep. All right. Then what is meant by the statement that a satellite is operating in UV mode? Is that like ultraviolet? A, the satellite uplink is in the 15-meter band and the downlink is in the 10-meter band.
B, satellite uplink is in the 70-centimeter band and the downlink is in the 2-meter band.
C, the satellite operates using ultraviolet frequencies.
Or D, the satellite frequencies are usually variable. UV means usually variable. Satellite uplink, UV, I know what that is. So UHF and VHF. So the only real right answer is going to be B, satellite uplink is in the 70-centimeter band and the downlink is in the 2-meter band. So that 70 centimeters is UHF. 2 meters is in the VHF band, so that's got to be the answer, UV. But ultraviolet, you can work on your tan with that.
Yeah.
If that were the answer. But it's not.
No. It's B.
What causes spin fading of satellite signals? A, circular polarized noise interference radiated from the sun.
B, rotating of the satellite and its antennas.
C, Doppler shift of the received signal.
Or D, interfering signals within the satellite uplink band. What causes spin fading of a satellite signal? Well, the only thing there that sounded like spinning to me is B, rotation of the satellite and its antennas.
Yeah, that's got to be it.
Yeah, I think that's it.
Circular polarized noise. Yeah, it's got to be it. It's the only one that really kind of seems.
Yeah. I'm going to say B.
Intelligible.
Chat room saying B. And it is. What is a LEO satellite? A, a sun synchronous satellite.
B, a highly elliptical orbit satellite.
C, a satellite in low energy operation mode.
Or D, a satellite in low Earth orbit. Okay. I just know what this one is. I know it's LEO is low Earth orbit. So what is a LEO satellite? It's going to be D, a satellite in low Earth orbit.
Yep. I'll agree with
you. I don't know how to tell you how to rule that out, but I just know that's what it is.
It's what they're saying over in the chat room, and you're right. Satellite in low Earth orbit.
Who may receive telemetry from a space station? A, anyone?
B, a licensed radio amateur with a transmitter equipped for interrogating the satellite.
C, a licensed radio amateur who has been certified by the protocol developer.
D, a licensed radio amateur who has registered for an access code from AMSAT. Who may receive telemetry from a space station? I mean, technically anybody with the receiver capable of receiving it. You don't have to be a licensed radio amateur.
Not to listen.
And you don't have to have a transmitter.
Not to listen.
So you don't need a license to listen. So the only thing that works there is anyone. And that's the correct answer.
Anyone, Bueller.
Yeah, he could have listened.
Anyone. Mm-hmm. Remember that guy?
Yep. And that's all the questions for tonight.
So soon.
So very soon.
Wow.
Yep. And those were so much fun that I didn't even bother reloading the ones that come after it, which I don't know.
Are there some
maybe you don't have cool wardrobe to go to the Hamfest in like Dean Martin and
or
myself.
Or the professor.
If you needed some of that, though, where could you get
You're
swag?
You're looking pretty sharp over there, Professor,
well,
I must say.
Thank you.
I like the threads.
I was trying to keep up with you.
Did a good job. You can get some very similar to these at shop.spreadshirt.com/amateurlogic. Get it. Get your swag there. The cups, caps, shirts, hoodies, backpacks. There's all kind of things on there. A lot of cool stuff. So get your Amateur Logic or Ham College swag represented at the Ham Fest.
Shop.spreadshirt.com/amateurlogic. And both of us will be at Dayton Hamvention this year.
Yep.
In Xenia. Yep.
First time I've been since the COVID stuff, I think.
Probably is, isn't it?
It's been several years, so yeah. I haven't been able to go because of some other things. Not because of COVID, but some other things going on at home. But looking forward to it this year.
I remember the year that, I think it was the first year near the end of COVID, and everybody went and came home with COVID. I didn't. Somehow I missed it. But, yeah.
I remember
that. A lot
of
people did. But that's not a big concern that it was a few years ago now. So I hope to see.
Yeah, it's out of style now.
It is.
Yeah. I'm glad.
Oh, me too. So what if you wanted to know what's going on throughout the month? I mean, even if you had a cool shirt, you still might want to be socially conscious.
Yeah, well, you can check us out. We're all over the place. We're on Facebook.com/groups/Ham College.
You could follow us on X or Twitter at Ham College or at Amateur Logic.
We're also on groups.io/g/AmateurLogic.
And any of those places we're going to post when the next episode's going to be, usually a few days in advance. And on the day of the show, we'll actually post these places as well, to let you know, hey, there's a live stream coming up tonight. And not everybody watches a live stream. Most people watch a downloaded version. And they don't know, well, I guess some of them know, that you're missing half the fun if you're not watching live, because we've got the chat room going on at the same time. All you people over there in the chat room know this secret. To get in the chat room, well, you're watching us on YouTube anyway when we're live streaming. You have to subscribe to the channel. That's the only way that we have to do any kind of administration on the group.
You can bring it up there if you want to show it.
Well, you have the chat room yourself.
I do have the chat room, and I have been known to chat in it a time or two.
Okay.
Good stuff in here.
It's a lot of answers. Boy, they could, if somebody just went through there and wrote down all of those.
Soup. Yep, pass test, ace it right there.
Yep, if you just knew what questions went with it. Yeah.
But it's fun.
Always a fun time in the chat room. So you do have to subscribe to the Amateur Logic YouTube channel, as we said. That's the only way we got of keeping the spam out. Yeah, that's why. So.
It's a good reason.
Anything else come to mind? Like, I mean, what if I couldn't remember what was on tonight's show? Not saying that I can, but what if I couldn't?
Just hypothetically?
Yeah, hypothetically, yeah.
Well, you know, we've got a thing called a wiki. You can find it at amateurlogic.tv/wiki. And all the show notes are on there. The list of questions are on there. So when you go to the wiki, go down to the bottom and you'll see the Amateur Logic show notes or Ham College show notes. Pick the show that you want to find. Actually, you can just search from the main page as well and it comes up.
We've been doing 2 episodes of Ham College every month to try to get to the end of the current technician pool before it expires. We only did 1 in March, so we're going to have to do some catching up to get to the rest of them.
Yeah.
I don't know. When do you think? April the 3rd?
Works for me.
We're going to have to try to squeeze in 3 that month if we can.
It's fine.
All right. April the 3rd, so that's next Friday. I think that's it. Any words of wisdom for the class tonight?
Nope. It's fun one. And you learned that the side lesson was to make sure your transparencies are done.
Yes. And they should have been done because I use the exact same templates and everything I always use. I don't know why.
Sometimes stuff just happens, man.
Yep.
No big deal. We live through it.
Would you happen to want to know what we're going to talk about next time?
I'd be interested to know.
You think they would?
I think so.
We're going to talk about operating activities. These are fun. Radio direction finding, contest, linking over the internet, and exchanging grid locators.
Oh, cool.
And we're going to talk about non-voice and digital communications, image signals and definition of NTSC, CW, packet radio, PSK, APRS, error detection and correction, amateur radio networking, digital mobile radio, WSJT modes, and broadband hamnet.
Now, that's stuff that wasn't on there when I took mine.
No.
A lot of that stuff wasn't on there.
It wasn't.
Fairly new stuff, so.
Mm-hmm. All right.
It's good stuff.
It is good stuff.
Sounds like it should be a fun one.
Yeah. Cool.
Do you have anything you want to allow for the class?
I would say get your studies happening. The current pool is going to expire.
End of June? Like June the 30th, I think.
The current question pool is good through June the 30th. You knew. Look at that.
It's because I'm a dean.
That is because he's a dean.
It's part of my job.
And that's about all the allowing I have to do right now.
Well, you know what time it is?
About 10?
About time to go get some supper.
It is. All right. 7-3, everybody. See you next Friday.
7-3, everybody. Good night.
Meters is, say, a certain. Oops, you got a call.
Oh, that's my brother. Sorry.
That we can't be using any electronics to cheat on the answers in here.
Well, I was going to phone a friend, a brother, a family member.
Okay. All right. See, the satellite operates using ultraviolet frequencies.
Or D, the satellite frequencies are usually variable. UV is usually variable.
Did I say ultraviolet? I think I did.